Welcome to a World of Good podcast. I'm Nate Tatman.
And I'm Andrew Gale.
And we are two friends
who love Jesus,
care about the church,
and travel the world to share stories of people who do the same.
Our conversations happen in all kinds of places,
like a coffee shop in an airport terminal,
or even the back of a crowded taxi.
But no matter where we go, from Argentina to Zimbabwe,
we capture stories of the good God is doing around the world.
And we hope those stories will do you a world of good.
Welcome to a World of Good podcast. My name is Nate Tatman, and it's been a really long time, Andrew, since we have been in the same room together and recording the same episode. So welcome, Andrew, to your podcast.
It's great to be here, and it's great to be sitting with you. I know we were together, I think the last time, well, I guess we were at our meeting in January, we were together, but we didn't record any podcast then.
No.
We both recorded in Prague.
Yes.
But I think we recorded individually. I don't think we recorded together. We haven't done a recording together in a long time.
Yep. Which is good and bad.
Well, mainly I've enjoyed it.
I have too.
So we're in Tampa right now for the Church of God Convention. This is, we've been descended on by 1,200 people from around the world to come and be a part of this convention and in front of a live audience to have this podcast to share some of these stories, and excited to get to do that. Again, we did this in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
As we said, you weren't able to join for that one because of some flight delays, but we're excited to try this again.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and get started. We're going to jump in. And on this special episode, one of the things that we want to look at is global strategies, kind of mission, vision, tagline, and how they break it down in kind of three different areas that we work in as an organization, as a mission sending agency, and what that looks like on the ground working with local churches and local leaders. And so kind of the main tagline that we use and we hear a lot is walking alongside the local church globally. Maybe just share, Andrew, how and why did you as an organization come up with that tagline?
Yeah. So at Global, when I came in 2017 as executive director, I had a lot of folks that were asking, you know, what do you do at Global Strategy? What's the purpose? My response was often, we'll name something that happens around the world and we're probably a part of it. You know, they'll be like, well, do you drill wells? Yes. Well, do you have schools? Yes. Do you do leadership development? Yes. Do you support churches? Yes. The list goes on and on. Do you have medical facilities? Yes. I mean, the work that we do is a broad scope. And that becomes challenging when people don't really understand as an organization, well, then, you know, what do you do? Like, what's your purpose? And so as we were processing, you know, what is it that Global, like, we're an organization that started in 1909. So we've been around for a long time. It's not a new organization. And we've changed and morphed over the years. You know, early on, the kinds of missions, even the missions that was happening in the 60s, 70s, 80s was different than the missions that we're doing today. And so as we started to look at the work that we're doing, we realized that everything we do as an organization is to support the local church on the ground. That we are not an organization that goes in and starts things. There are places that do that, but our goal is to go and see where God is already working with the local Church of God and just help that become even bigger and better in the work that they're doing. And so that looks different in every context, but the Church of God is already in 90 countries in the world. And those countries are expanding to other countries. So we get to work with churches in all kinds of different things. You know, it's things like schools and leadership development, but also church planting and church development. And so we realized the bulk of the work we were doing was supporting the local church on the ground. And that was really what we felt like our impetus should be, that rather than being the people doing it, we're walking alongside the local church and just helping them do what God's called them to do and do it in the best way they possibly can.
And it's general enough in such a way that you can adapt it to many different cultures, in many different contexts, as you're saying. The passage, or one of the passages I know that you guys use, comes from Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 4, and especially in the Message translation, where it says, "You are all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction, so stay together both outwardly and inwardly." And that's kind of been the driving force behind Global Strategy. Again, that we're all together in this. We're not North Americans. We're not Egyptians, we're not solely those things, but that we are brothers and sisters in Christ working together towards the same mission, vision, purpose. And so
I think what you said was really important there. I want to highlight it about the broadness of that. A lot of people will say having broad visions isn't great, but we work in countries that are so vastly different than one another. I mean, you think about what ministry would look like on the streets of Berlin versus ministry in a small village in Peru. Like, those are very, very different contexts. And so to have something that allows us to give some language to what we do, but also not limit the work that we do, and allow the context of those places to drive what that work looks like, It's been helpful for us.
Yeah. So there's kind of three main areas in which we use this walk alongside language. And we're going to go through each of these three, and then we're going to invite up one of our pastors to come and share how this plays out in their context. So the first one is locally led and sustained. What does that mean to be locally led and sustained?
Yeah. So for us, it's really important that around the world that churches are developing local leadership. There's nothing wrong with Americans going and serving overseas. That's something that we want that to happen, but we don't want the ministry to hinge on a missionary that may leave and then that ministry not continue on. So we want a local church to be developing local leaders that can support the church, that can continue the ministry for lots of different reasons. I mean, not just because one, a local person understands their context better, so they're able to engage that community better. That's a really obvious reason. But another reason is there are countries that have made it difficult or impossible for missionaries or outsiders to come and serve. And so if a church is solely hinges on one person or a missionary couple, and that person is forced out because of government issues and the church crumbles, that's not what we would want. We want the church to be able to maintain and sustain. Not that it wouldn't be difficult, but to give some, yeah, to make that happen. And so that was one of the things. We want local leadership, and we also want local sources of funding. You know, in India, we had significant struggles getting money in because the government became much more cracked down on Christian non-for-profits sending funds into India. And so because of that, lots of different ministries that were completely sustained by outside funding have struggled. But we try to work to help our churches. Of course, we have funds that come in, but we try to help our churches be able to sustain themselves without outside funding so that there's not that if the outside funding ends or if there's issues or if we have a economic crisis here in the United States and giving goes down, that those churches aren't affected. They can continue serving their communities in really healthy ways.
Yeah. The next one is to be regionally connected. What does that look like?
So for regional connectivity, you know, we're thinking about the fact that churches do best when they are working with each other. You know, when there's, we think that connections across a region provide accountability, they provide creativity. I mean, we know this in the United States. When we come to these kinds of events as church leaders and we get to hear what God's doing in different churches and take that back to our communities, that's an opportunity for that community to grow, to have new life and new ministry opportunities. We think that regional connectivity is really important. And in some places, it happens really naturally. But places like Europe, it's a challenge. I mean, mm-hmm. We have some countries where there may only be one Church of God church in an entire country. And so that church can feel really isolated and alone. And so helping to make sure there's some connections across the region. And for us, the regions are Africa, Latin America, Asia Pacific, Europe and the Middle East, Caribbean Atlantic, and then we also have Native American ministries in the United States. And so those are the six regions. And so we want to help churches in those regions, like in the Europe and the Middle East, to support and connect with one another so that they can not feel like they're alone.
Yeah. And that's where Andrew gave the example of in Europe. And again, that's where my wife and I serve as the regional coordinators. And we have several countries. We have 14 countries where we have a Church of God representation in Europe and the Middle East. And on average, in Europe, if we take out the Middle East, we have about 6 or 7 churches on average per country. And so when you begin to break that down in terms of not only do those churches feel isolated in that country, they're also isolated from other believers in that region through language, through culture, through many different contexts. And so having those opportunities to connect regionally, to interact, to have peers and colleagues in which you're doing ministry together and encouraging one another are vital and important to the life of the church, the life of the pastor.
Yeah, I had someone tell me that, you know, they had never sat in a room with 50 other Christians their age before, you know, in Europe. I mean, imagine like we're, you know, 1,200 plus people, not just Christians, but from a very specific movement, you know? And so they're talking about, you know, they hadn't sat in a room with 50 other just Christians in general because of the isolation that they experienced. And so that regional connectivity really helps to create some support systems and encouragement.
Yep. And the final one, the third kind of bucket, I guess, is to be missionally engaged.
Yeah, we believe that healthy churches are churches that are engaging in the communities outside of the walls of their church, churches that are aware of the community's needs, that are trying to meet those needs, that are supportive of their neighbors and are aware of what's going on. And sometimes that's, you know, hyper close neighborhoods, but it's also can be nationally or globally. But churches that are thinking outside of just a Sunday morning and really understanding what it looks like to be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the church to the people around them. And so that's you know, one of the really important aspects that we think of as the third aspect that then brings all that together. So locally led and sustained, regionally connected, and then churches that are missionally engaged.
Yeah, very good. Well, we're going to invite our first guest to come up here, Pastor Latif from Egypt. Come on up, Dr. Latif. And just as a point of introduction, Dr. Latif is the chairman of the General Assembly for the Church of God in Egypt, where you have 12 churches, 12 congregations overall. And you've been in that role now for how long as the leader for the Egyptian?
For 10 years.
For 10 years, okay. And through those 10 years, as I imagine, as you and I have connected and talked, there's been a lot of changes in the church in Egypt, not just the General Assembly, but in the different churches. But just share with us, how has, over the 10 years that you have been the national leader there for the General Assembly, how has the culture changed? How have you become, how has Egypt become, I would say, maybe reliant on outside sources, funding, very few pastors who are being raised up to have a spirit of unity and that sort of thing? How has that changed over the years from then until now?
First, I thank you to invite me to this meeting with this group. I'm happy to be with you. So when you speak about the self-sustaining for the church, I'm turning back to the history of Church of God in Egypt for many years ago. The church was depending on the support from outside, and all the pastors, when they met with any foreign or missionary, they ask for money. They say that we are poor, we need to support us. Our culture is very poor, so we need you. This is, from my point of view, is very bad image and very bad situation for the church. And I remember when the missionary come to Egypt and say that the support will be decreased or cut, all the pastors and even the president of the General Assembly said, how come we can not continue in our ministry? And they complain more and more. And I remember that at this time, I said, I and some of our pastors, we said, it is time to stop feeding on outside. We must feed on our own food. And from this point, the mentality changed to be self-sustaining. And when I think about that, I see there is two points of view, spiritual point of view and practical point of view. For the spiritual point of view, the church need to teach about tithing as a continuing command from God, not only for the Old Testament. In Matthew 23:23, Jesus, when he speak with Pharisees, he told them that you keep the command of tithing, but you leave many moral commands. So you must do the two together. Don't leave this, but do this also. So even Jesus speak about tithing. This is the first point. Second point, the church must teach about generosity, not only to satisfy with giving tithing, but as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 about Philippians, that they give more than their power, because firstly, they give themselves for the Lord. And generosity don't depend on the ability, because you can see a poor man or woman, but he has heart to give. So it is heart case, not ability case. And as we return to the widow, when she was in the temple and Jesus saw that she gave these two minimum amount, he said she gave more than all of those, because she gave all that she had. So it is hard to case. Sometimes the pastors afraid to speak about generosity and giving, because they afraid that some church members may be thinking about, he speak about giving for himself. No, there is a system, a financial system in the church. And as a pastor, when you speak about generosity, the members will give to the treasure, not to you, to your pocket. So we must not afraid to speak about generosity. This is second point. Third point, church must practice faith that the Lord, the church is people of God. So he know how to concern with their needs and fulfill or fully satisfy all their the needs, as Paul said in their letters. So by faith, we do our ministry. Don't afraid from the financial problems. We depend on the Lord that he will support us. And fourth thing in this point, the church must live in unity, because we are one body. Our head is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are one body. And as Paul said, as the organs in the body, in one body, cooperate together, also the church as one body cooperate together in sadness, in joyful situation, in the all responsibilities of the church and the ministry of the church. All the members cooperate together to do these responsibilities. So each member must share and take his role and responsibility with the church. This is spiritual point of view. But from the practical point of view, the church must think about the resources that it has. Because sure, you have certain resources, but you maybe not see these resources. So you must search about what is the resources in our hands. And how can we invest these resources by the high benefit way and concentrate on the part that you can get income more than you can concentrate on parts with no benefits. I have a rule which is called 20-80. I didn't know if you do this, you know this rule or 20% of your resources can give you 80% of your needs. And 80% of your resources will give you the rest of 20%. This is first. Second, practical way, we must think about how to increase our income and how to decrease our expenses. Because sometimes we spend many money and nothing. And there is certain items you can cancel it to avoid loss of money. So by practical way, you will see your resources, invest it by wisdom from God, then you can progress. Nowadays, we thank God for the cooperation and our relationship with the missionaries and with United States. We appreciate that. We appreciate your support, your standing beside us, but we depend basically on ourselves. And if I go and visit any church, everywhere, I told them, in any project, you must begin with yourselves. If you didn't help yourself, no one will help you. So the basic is from inside, not from outside. And then God may bless you from outside, but basically you must depend on yourself. So now we renew two of our damaged churches, and we are processing in the other two to rebuild the churches.
But I think that's a really important aspect that I haven't heard you express, is that all of these churches across Egypt are connected. The pastors are connected with one another. They support one another. They offer ideas. I mean, when I visited, we visited a few of the churches, and they were sharing with us the vision and the strategy that the church had to reach their community and some of the creative ways they were doing that. Like, I don't remember if I get all the information correct, but there was a church that was like across from a school, and they were having a coffee shop on the roof so that students would come into the church because they couldn't go across the street to do evangelism, because you can't evangelize in Egypt. But if someone walked into the church to go get a coffee or to watch a soccer game on the big screen upstairs, then they could have a conversation. And so this was a creative way that the church, but this was all done in partnership as the pastors were strategizing together how they could reach their community. I just think that's an important aspect too. They do it, maybe do it on their own to figure out how to become sustained, but a lot of it is also done in community with other pastors and other churches.
Is that what I said about unity? If we said that the church must live in unity, also the General Assembly must be as one unit. So we are one together. If there is any occasion in any church or any project for any church, this is our church, not the church of Pastor X. No, it is our church. So we are all together, cooperate to do this project, and we celebrate together by what God is doing with us.
And that doesn't even come, it's not just about the buildings and the structure and the ministry. It's also about the relationships as well. And maybe just briefly, your last story you can share about how the pastors surrounded another pastor and his family in a time of need.
Yeah, I am proud that any of our pastors pass through any problem, all the pastors together and General Assembly beside him. One example of this, one of our pastors in Upper Egypt, which is poor culture, his son passing through surgery because he has problems in kidney function, and he want to make a surgery as advice of the doctor. And the price was very high. He has no ability. So his church, this is the beginning. His church supported him with certain amount, and the General Assembly, all the pastors collect to him. And so his son do the operation very well. Now he is good. So as we serve God together, we are one body.
Yeah, and that was a year ago or last year at some point. I had the opportunity to travel with Dr. Lateef throughout Egypt, and it was evident that they see one another as family members, not just as co-pastors or colleagues, but as family members. You know, Dr. Lateef introduced me to many different sons and daughters, young people, old people that he recognizes his sons and daughters in the church, and especially pointed out to me the ones that he believes that God is calling them or will call them into ministry as well. And so it's not just Dr. Lateef, but it's the other pastors who also see their role as a family member. And so, Dr. Lateef, thank you very much for sharing your story with us, and blessings on you.
It's incredible to hear about, you know, a church that started, in a place that was really receiving a lot of funds and has now been able, I mean, it wasn't easy, but over a long term to transition that. And I know that even the church in Egypt has given in the past to the Disaster Relief Fund in the United States, which goes to support disasters around the world. So now that they've been able to even create that sustainability, they're able to give back in ways that they may not have even seen that as a possibility before. And so just a cool example of what it means to really become locally led and sustained.
Yeah, very much. We asked Pastor Esteban to come and to share on his ministry and his church and how they are regionally connected.
Muchas gracias por la invitación. Es un placer para nosotros poder estar acá en este día.
De nada. and let Abby.
And thank you so much for the invitation. It's a pleasure and a joy to be with you today.
Nosotros somos, ahora mismo soy el presidente de la CID, la Conferencia Interamericana de la Iglesia de Dios, que estamos trabajando en Latinoamérica.
Now I serve as the president of the SEED, which is the Inter-American Conference of the Church of God in Latin America.
Y es nuestro trabajo tratar de conectar la Iglesia de Dios en Latinoamérica.
And so our role is to try to connect the Church of God in Latin America.
Este trabajo me acompaña el pastor Alberto Martínez de Perú como tesorero.
And in this role, I'm accompanied by Pastor Alberto Martínez, who's the treasurer, and he's from Peru.
Que nos acompaña, está aquí.
And he is here with us today.
Y también la hermana Mónica Fisher de Argentina como secretaria.
And also Sister Mónica Fisher, who is the secretary, and she's from Argentina.
Este es mi primer periodo como presidente. Fui electo en septiembre del año pasado en Brasil.
This is my first term as a president. I was elected in September of last year during the convention in Brazil.
Pero antes de eso, estuve 7 años como secretario también.
But before that, I served as the secretary for 7 years.
Entonces, nuestra labor, como decía, es esa de tratar de mantener unida la Iglesia de Dios en Latinoamérica y ver cómo podemos trabajar juntos.
And so that's really our goal, is to keep the Church of God in Latin America united and see how we can work together.
Lo hacemos de diferentes formas. Hasta ahora estamos trabajando con convenciones regionales en toda Latinoamérica.
So we do that in different ways. One of the ways is that we have regional conventions across Latin America.
La última fue en Brasil en septiembre, la próxima en octubre del próximo año 2024.
So the last one was in Brazil last year in September, and the next one will be in Argentina in October of next year.
Y estas convenciones nos ayudan a poder dar temas de interés regional, inquietudes de las iglesias que pueden ser aclaradas dentro de esas convenciones.
And so these conventions just allow us to address different topics of interest or different concerns or issues that pop up in Latin America.
También trabajamos con foros regionales en Sudamérica, en Centroamérica, que nos une un poquito más con las iglesias que puedan asistir por la cercanía.
So we also have regional forums like for South America or for Central America that help to promote unity in different regions because the churches are a little bit closer to each regional forum.
Porque a veces por las distancias es difícil que se puedan asistir a las convenciones latinoamericanas, pero estas regionales dan la oportunidad que los países que viven más cerca puedan asistir a ellas.
Because sometimes it's too far for people to travel to a large Latin American convention, and so by having the regional conventions, they are a little bit closer, and so it's easier for people to travel to these smaller regional functions.
So one of the stories I'd love for you to share is about the church in El Salvador. I think it's a great example of the way that the SEED, Global Strategy, the Concilio work together to plant a church in a place that didn't have a Church of God.
Sí, la Iglesia de Dios en El Salvador nació en medio de la pandemia.
The Church of God in El Salvador was born in the midst of the pandemic.
En el 2019, en la convención en Orlando, tuvimos un acercamiento con la directiva del Concilio Hispano.
In 2019, during the Orlando Convention, we had a conversation with the Hispanic Concilio.
En esa conversación, el pastor Víctor Kispert, que era presidente, expresó una de nuestras metas para ese año, que era abrir iglesia.
And so during that time, Pastor Victor Quispe, who was the president of the SEED, expressed one of our goals, which was to be able to open a church there.
En dos países de Latinoamérica que no había, El Salvador y Belice.
And the goal was to open a church in the two countries where we don't have a church in our region, which is El Salvador and Belize.
Y esa conversación nos dio la conexión con José Gómez, un pastor del Concilio.
And so out of that came a conversation with Pastor José Gómez from the Concilio.
Que conocía a alguien del Salvador. Habló con él, le preguntó si estaba interesado y nos conectó para que nosotros pudiéramos ir a El Salvador y tener una reunión con él.
And so he knew someone in El Salvador and he asked him if he was interested, and that opened the door for us to be able to find out if he was interested and travel to El Salvador and make the connection there.
Este pastor invitó 2-3 pastores más. Estuvimos en una reunión.
And so this pastor invited 3 other pastors and we had a meeting.
Y al final, con este pastor que nos recomendaron, no salió nada, ninguna conexión. Pero dentro de esos pastores que él invitó estaba el pastor Mario Morán.
So it ended up that the person that we were connected with that ultimately didn't turn out to be anything, but of the 3 other pastors that came, one of those was Pastor Mario Morán.
Nosotros dejamos nuestro contacto con el pastor Víctor y a los 2 meses él nos contactó que ha estado orando y que Dios le pone en su corazón poder trabajar con nosotros.
And so we left him our contact information, and 2 months later he reached out to us and said that he'd been praying and that God had laid on his heart to get in touch with us.
Y empezamos a hacer planes para ver cómo podíamos comenzar una iglesia en El Salvador.
And so we started to make plans to see how we could start a church in El Salvador.
Entonces el pastor Víctor Quispe vive en Bolivia, Yo estaba en Honduras, pero lo más cercano a El Salvador es Guatemala.
And so Pastor Victor Quispe lives in Bolivia. I live in Honduras, but the country that was closest to El Salvador for us was Guatemala.
Entonces contactamos a los líderes de la Iglesia de Dios en Guatemala para poder dejarlos como encargados del establecimiento de esta iglesia con la supervisión de la CID en El Salvador.
And so we reached out to the leadership of the Church of God in Guatemala and just asked them to be in charge of staying in touch and keeping in close contact with El Salvador under the CID supervision, but they were the ones who made the connection.
Todo esto fue meses antes de la pandemia. Cuando estábamos listos para comenzar, vino la pandemia.
And so all of this was a few months before the pandemic, and when we were just ready to get started, that's when the pandemic hit.
Y eso complicó todo, pero sentíamos que era de Dios las conexiones. Dios las había puesto y pudieron permanecer hasta un año después.
And so that made everything very complicated, but we really believe that God was still working, and so we were able to maintain those connections for another year.
Donde cuando en El Salvador ya se abrió un poquito más las puertas, pudimos comenzar esta iglesia en el garaje de la casa del Pastor Mario.
And so then we were able to get started there, opening a church in the garage, actually, of Pastor Mario.
Cuando él me dijo que había que comenzar la iglesia ya porque la gente estaba animada, pero no tenían local, yo le dije, yo comencé en tela la iglesia en el garaje de mi casa.
And so he started to say, well, we need a place to meet. And I said, hey, the church that I started in tela also started in a garage.
Es que el pastor, así él conoce. El pastor Mario se animó, comenzó su iglesia ahí en el garaje de su casa.
And so Pastor Mario was encouraged and he began the church right there in the garage of his home.
Y ahí comenzamos como directiva de la CID con el pastor Víctor, con el pastor Alberto, a ver cómo podíamos conectar a Latinoamérica con esta iglesia en El Salvador.
And so we as the CID, Pastor Victor, Pastor Alberto, started to see how can we as the CID connect this congregation with the rest of Latin America.
Como yo también estoy cerca de El Salvador, comenzamos a hablar con líderes nacionales para ver cómo podíamos apoyar a la iglesia de El Salvador de alguna manera, económicamente principalmente.
And so since I live close to El Salvador, I began to talk with other regional leaders to see how we could provide some financial support to the church in El Salvador.
Y comenzamos para tratar de alquilar un local. Dos pastores del Concilio Hispano, tres pastores del Concilio Hispano, Honduras, Guatemala y Panamá.
And so we started out trying to look for an ability to rent a place for them. And so three pastors of the Concilio and one from Honduras and Guatemala and Panama began to contribute for this.
Estamos apoyando con $50 mensuales durante un año.
And they committed to send $50 a month for a year.
Ahora mismo estamos con una segunda etapa de apoyo y estamos ya contactando pastores de líderes nacionales de Costa Rica, Bolivia, Argentina, Paraguay y República Dominicana.
And so now we're in the second phase of being able to support. And so we're reaching out to leaders in Costa Rica, Paraguay,
Bolivia,
Argentina,
República,
and Dominican Republic.
Ya están comenzando a apoyar durante un año la Iglesia del Salvador.
And so now they're also agreed to support for 1 year the church in El Salvador.
Con esto le estamos diciendo a la iglesia del Salvador, número uno, que no están solos.
So what we're saying to the church in El Salvador through this is, number one, you're not alone.
Que les podemos apoyar más allá de lo tradicional, de solo orar, también demostrar nuestro amor con un apoyo económico.
And so we're saying we're going to support you by more than what we've typically done, which is just pray. We're also going to provide some financial support for you.
Y estamos llevándolo un poquito más allá y el 17, 18 y 19 de agosto.
And so we're taking it a little further on August 16, 17, 18.
Un grupo como de 50 personas de Honduras y Guatemala.
There's a group of 50 people from Honduras and Guatemala.
Vamos a visitar la iglesia en El Salvador.
That are going to visit the church in El Salvador.
Estamos cobrando para las personas su hotel, su transporte, y cada persona está dando una aportación económica para un proyecto en la iglesia del Salvador.
And so we're arranging the hotel and the transport, and then each person is going to contribute something for the project in El Salvador.
El pastor Mario nos habló de la necesidad de un púlpito, entonces estamos recaudando el dinero necesario entre los hermanos de Guatemala y El Salvador para ir y hacerlo nosotros mismos.
And so the pastor's talking about the need for putting in the pulpit, and so we're also collecting the offerings there from the brothers and sisters to be able to build that.
Queremos que las iglesias en Latinoamérica se sientan parte de la CID, no solo como de una organización donde nos reunimos de vez en cuando, sino que realmente, como decía el pastor Latif, somos una familia.
And so we really want the churches to feel identified with the Seed, not just as an organization that puts together conventions every couple years, but as Dr. Lateef said, what is really a family.
Y todo esto ha sido a través de tratar de conectarnos, ¿no? Y estamos viendo que el conectarnos es muy bueno y queremos llevar eso a toda la región de Latinoamérica.
And so we've really seen the importance of trying to connect, to build these connections and to connect ourselves with one another. And so this is something we hope to spread throughout Latin America.
Y eso es cómo nació la Iglesia de Dios en El Salvador y cómo la estamos apoyando a través de conexiones.
And that's how the church in El Salvador was born and how we're continuing to support it through different connections.
What a beautiful example of the church having a vision together to try to do something and coming together across the region, across multiple countries to make that happen. We're grateful that we get to be a part of that through Global Strategy and that we get to see the work that God's doing in those countries and are so excited about Pastor Mario and the work in El Salvador. Thank you so much for sharing.
Muchas gracias por compartir.
Thank you, Pastor Esteban and Dr. Lateef for sharing about locally led and sustained. Pastor Esteban about being regionally connected. And we'd like to invite Pastor Tappan from Bangladesh to come and to talk about being missionally engaged. So welcome, Pastor Tappan.
Yeah, so Pastor Tappan, you are the national leader for the Church of God in Bangladesh.
Yes.
You have been serving in that role for a number of years now.
Yes, 23 years.
Yeah, 23 years. So, and the work that you do as a church, one of the things that I really love about what you do is that you support churches, but you also recognize those churches are part of communities and work through like the Village Project, those kind of things to try to expand and support the communities that churches are a part of. Tell me about why that's important to you and what that looks like for your ministry.
Okay, thank you very much, Brother Andrew. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, greetings. To all in the name of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. I feel humble and privileged to be with you all. I am Tappan Burman, the national leader of Bangladesh. I bring greetings from our Church of God ministry in Bangladesh and also the House of Hope. I bring greetings from my wife and my kids also. I'm really grateful as well as you keep the opportunity to sit before and you all and share our ministry in Bangladesh. Yes, you know this, Church of God ministry is started in 1918, and now we are 106 years. We last 106 years, we reach 8 districts. We have 68 districts, but we reach and we church planted. And you know, our first heart to evangelism. This is our first priority. And then we establish so many education sector. And also, how can we engage the community? And how can we serve proper way to our community people? And not only the Christian people, the other group of faith. You know this, we are staying in the Muslim country. Almost 89% is Islam, and 11% is the Hinduism, and the Buddhism, and other faith, and Christian is a minus 0.05. Yes, it is a... but we are so grateful, our leaders, our heroes, like our missionaries, F.W. Henley, and Frank Clarks, Bob Clarks, and Nova Hutchins, Paul Hutchins, they are our heroes because of they sacrificed their life, they reached Bangladesh, shared the good news, and that's why I'm in Bangladeshi and sitting in front of you all, sharing about the ministry, what God is moving Bangladesh, all over Bangladesh, and which way I'm working last 23 years. And you know this, we are really grateful to Global Strategy the last year. Our regional coordinator, he focused on the adopt village so that we can go and adopt the village, not only in the name of Jesus, so that we can make a good relationship with them and share our love of God.
So when you say adopt a village,
yeah,
tell us what that means, because for you, that's adopting a village in your community has a number of different aspects that it has. So education, but so what are the different things that are a part of a village when you adopt a village?
Yes, thank you very much, because you know that we are the 0.05%. Mm-hmm. All around is the Islam, all around the Hinduism, the Buddhist and other faith. So where there is a good opportunity to, how can we establish a hope center or life center, and we can bring them to their community people to show our love through our activities, through our some program, and so that we can reach and tell the Jesus and tell the story which way God love us, not only the Christian people, the others of other faith people. And you know that that's why we when we make out of the village, we make one shelter, we say life shelter, and we through the sponsorship program, we reach the each and every family members, and also we give so many potential some other activities so that we the other family members can part of our ministry and we can easily share the word of God. This is the way we are working. The Compassion International is our partner. Children of Promise is our partner. This has helped us to reach our community very easy way. Compassion is working in the Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist, and other faith, but the Children of Promise is working among the Christians. So there is a good hope. There is a hope and there is a good opportunity to work the other faith people so that we can share our love to our neighbors.
That's wonderful. And one of the things I wanted you to share today is that you've been doing these village projects and supporting communities, but you have a new ministry that you're passionate about that you and your wife are doing together.
Yes.
And so I would love for you just to share just a little bit about what that ministry is and how that came about.
Yes. Thank you, Andrew. You know, there's 2000 I joined as a Secretary General Administrative Council Church of God in Bangladesh. So my regional coordinator is John M. Johnson, and his father is the interim director that time. This is a great opportunity to serve the Christian community people. And 5 years I serve, and then I wish then I can go to the Union Biblical Seminary. So I wish I share my thought to my regional coordinator that time, John M. Johnson. And he managed, and some people, they sponsor me so that myself, I can go to the Union Biblical Seminary. You know, the Union Biblical Seminary is the one of the Asian good evangelical seminary. And I did my MD 4 years. But that time, I one challenge to my Church of God ministry that I will not go alone. I want to take my wife. The same course, my wife should be go with me because we want to work by work, side by side, not the single. So he arranged everything. And I went to Pune and I did the 4 year course. During my theological study, I have a great opportunity to internship 6 months. And that time I work with the prostitute. And this is the big brothel where I did my 6 months, my wife and myself. We did not back to Bangladesh. I can't back to Bangladesh and do the internship 6 months. But we go through and we try to find that what kind of life the leading the sex workers there. Not only the sex worker, the pregnant mothers and their kids because they have no fathers. Because we try to understand their story, their pain, why they're and what purpose they are doing this. So this is the 6 month, my wife and myself. You know, the story is like this when I took my wife and this is a new world for us. And when we come back to Bangladesh, so in Bangladesh, it's 1918 to 2023, almost 106 years we are serving. Nobody reached this group of people, sex worker in Bangladesh. Almost 106 years later, God showed me the way so that I can go to the brothel. Because when I surveyed my wife and myself, we found 68,000 people, sex worker is involved with the brothel. And there is so many floating sex workers in the tourist region area. So, and God gave me a vision. I take these challenges. I start a survey. I bring my team and I start the work. Because this is when I heard their story and I feel that I can do something for them. And that's why we start church there last October. We call, say, this is the, if you type the WW Dolotia, then you can find the world largest brothel is there. 4,000 sex worker is there. And now within a 6 month, we reach 1,600 and we working among the sex workers. And we, and also the helping their, the pregnant mothers and 277 kids. And also my wife and myself, we went to 68 districts and we find where is the brothel. You know, we are the Muslim country. Muslim people can marry 4 times. There is no need any brothel because they have a 4 wives. But we found that 68 districts, there is a 68,000 sex worker is involved this. So I think that this is a place where we can show our love. We can bring them and we can show them who is Jesus Christ. But you know that I already send you one video. You can saw that we already started the life center. We invited the sex workers. They are coming. We are giving a free treatment and also feeding the all pregnant mothers. You know, when the one woman is pregnant, she cannot work properly. So we feeding two times. And even also we started the feeding kids also, 277. This is the way we started. And I think that the Church of God can proud that 160 years, no Baptist church, no Lutheran church, no Methodist church. Church of God, the rich, unreached group of people. Mm. I know they are, our society have a, they're acceptable. In our society is that no, down level. They cannot get any kind of facility. But we call this our center, Hope Center. We giving hope for the prostitute, hope for the pregnant mothers, hope for the drug addicts, hope for the prisoners, hope for the sick. And this is the way we are working Church of God in Dolotia now.
I feel like I'm in a church service right now, and I've heard a great story. I'm ready to sign up. And again, my context is more in European and Middle East context, but and we've been there in this role now for just a little over 2 years. And one of the things that has become evident, and again, in our region, that I think also plays in other regions, is that as Christians, when you're in the minority, especially as a church, you very easily become insulated and you isolate yourself from the outside world for a variety of reasons. And in that, as you can imagine, churches decline, they decrease, less and less people go to the church. The church becomes less and less irrelevant in your culture and your community. But that's not how God has designed the church. He's designed the church to not be on the defense, but to be on the offense and to identify needs in the community to reach out and to share Jesus's love in many different ways. And so thank you, Brother Tappan, for sharing how you and your wife have answered God's call to meet those needs and to start a church in a brothel and to be able to reach women, children, and others. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Also, I would like to say that the 106 years, we reach only 3,500 our believers.
Wow.
There is a hope we can reach the 68,000 people and added our church. Because the society is looked down upon the our society, but we want to make a difference in their life, bring them out of poverty and also from the unhealthy, so the life they're leading so that they can come out. Amen. And we need your prayer and we need your support. Because we want to stand, work side by side.
Absolutely.
Without somebody's prayer, without somebody's help, we can't move. Because I saw different kind of challenges when I worked there. So please continue to pray for Bangladesh. The new ministry, that we can reach the 68 district, 68 bothel, and 68,000 people in Bangladesh.
All right. So we'll remember that number 68.
Yes.
Sure. All right. So thank you so much again, Pastor Latif, Pastor Esteban and Pastor Tappan, for sharing your stories and what God is doing in your world. Hopefully, for the rest of us who've listened in on these stories, it has given you some hope and encouragement to see what God is doing around the world.
Thanks for listening to A World of Good. A World of Good is a podcast production of Global Strategy and Church of God Ministries. Our theme song is Colorado by Leo Flores. If you want to join the conversation, visit us at Twitter at A World of Good Pod, on Instagram, A World of Good Podcast, or visit our website, chogglobal.org/aworldofgood. And join us next time as we share more stories of good from around the world.